How's it going, Yankee fans? Welcome back to Fireside Yankees with your boys, Alex and Ryan. Yes, dub yesterday. We're hyped. We're excited. That's exactly the way that we wanted to start this season, with a resilient win over the Houston Astros. The Yankees could have blew them out, in my opinion, leaving the bases loaded on two separate occasions before a couple of runs there in the middle of the game. I really think this could have been a much different scoreline. I think this could have been an 8-7, 8-4 scoreline if the Yankees were able to punch some of those runs in. And I think that we're seeing a glimpse of what this offense can be. And the bottom half of that order stepped up, man. Trevino, obviously Oswaldo Cabrera tied the game at 4 apiece with that solo shot later in the game. I think in the 6th inning, was it? Really impressive stuff. Cabrera, really awesome performance from him. Love to see it. We're going to talk about what the Yankees should do at third base, if they should actually start John Birdie or roll with the hot hand. And Cabrera, two hits yesterday, really solid performance from him. I love to see it. We're going to talk about it all. But also, Anthony Volpe, man, he looks like a different freaking player. He looks disciplined. He looks confident. He looks balanced in his approach. There were a couple of pitches yesterday that would have been strikes last year, swinging strikes and whiffs, and he laid off them. Really good pitches, too, that he would have swung at for sure last season, grounded out, missed entirely. He was taking those pitches, working some walks, working some deep counts. He looked like a 10-year vet, and that was really impressive to see from Volpe. He's done a lot of work this offseason, and you can clearly see his performance in spring training is rolling over. Obviously, Juan Soto, we're going to react to him, his elite performance. But Ryan, how are you feeling today? We got another game tonight, 8:10 p.m., I believe. It might be even on Apple TV. I hate how they have so many different streaming services we need to sign up to watch all these games. But you know what? It is what it is. And excited to watch this Yankee team. Carlos Rodon on the mound. How are you feeling after yesterday's win?
Yeah, personally, I think yesterday's win was, it was a statement win. Obviously, I was live for the game, and the mood shift after you go down 4-0. That was a rough first two innings, because you also have the opportunities to break through, and then you don't. And then you're just like, what the hell is going on? This feels like last year's team. You're trying to peel away positives in a game that you feel like you're just going to lose. And then they score one. And then they score two. And then they score three. And then you're like, okay, it's 4-3. It's a competitive game. And then Oswaldo Cabrera comes up and he smacks a ball to right field. And you're like, okay, we've got a new ball game. It's all tied up. It's 0-0 again, basically. And Yankees are able to punch through and get another run in the seventh. And then they're able to close down that bullpen. First and foremost, before we get into the third base conversation, shout out the pitching staff and shout out Aaron Boone for the bullpen management. Nestor Cortez, I know he got off to a rocky start. And look, that is not a good start, right? You're not going to say 5 innings, 4 runs, good start, right? But what you are going to say is he battled. And where Nestor Cortez has usually been worse third time through the order, he stepped up. We talked about he might just be a 5-and-dive guy, right? And he technically, right, 5 innings, and then the bullpen came in. So, yeah, he was a 5-and-dive guy yesterday. But the big thing for me, at least, is that he got better as he faced these guys second and third time through. That's not the indication of he ran out of gas. It was he got ambushed early, his command wasn't there, and then he picked it up, and then he got smarter, and he looked like the vintage Cortez for those final few innings, which was really encouraging to me. And then if you look at that bullpen, look, obviously some great defensive plays, Juan Soto play, bailed out some of their relievers here and there. But Clay Holmes, look, he just said, hey, here's my sinker, hit it. I trust my defense, and his defense stepped up. That's what you ask for, right? I have no problem with Clay Holmes giving up hits. I have a problem when he starts just walking the ballpark, right? You got to go up there and challenge hitters, and that's exactly what he did. Loaizaga, masterful. Kind of grinded through some hits here and there. Masterful. Ian Hamilton, it was just kind of surgical, right? And he gets amped up after, a really strong inning. So that bullpen, great job there. And then kind of tying it back to third base conversation, the Yankees don't win that game if Oswaldo Cabrera doesn't hit that home run. Point blank, period. I don't know if they would have won in extra innings. You could say they would have won in extra innings and so on and so forth, but you don't know that, right? And if we're talking about a tie game and we're talking about, even from the momentum standpoint, how is the momentum if you just get blanked in that inning? What is the momentum if you don't keep piling on? How does that change the conversation, with the team at that situation, if you get what I'm saying? So, I think Cabrera, we talked about kind of where third base is at, and I still believe John Birdie should be given an opportunity to earn the starting job, because one game doesn't change anything for me in terms of my preseason evaluations. But I also did write an article about as well the Cabrera's toe tap, and he looks good with that toe tap, man. I think he's got to stop hitting from the right-handed side, too. Just cut it out. Like, you don't have to do it anymore. It's cool. If he can't hit lefties, that's fine. That's why you have Birdie. That's why you have LeMahieu. And that'd be a fun situation to be in, where you can even just platoon. You have Birdie and LeMahieu for lefties. You have Cabrera for righties. That would be awesome. That would really help this team, of course. But yeah, I mean, I thought that swing was impressive. I think that what he's done in spring training, transitioning from the leg kick to the toe tap, has helped him with his timing. And he's obviously a great defender there. The questions there have been the glove. It's a matter of whether he can. It's a matter of whether he can hit or not. And again, as I still believe the evaluation I had on third base on March 28th at 8 in the morning is the same as the one I have now on March 29th at 11:30, even though Cabrera hit that home run. But what I will say is, we talked about him earning the job. We talked about him trying to earn the job. This is one chance, and he's off to a good start and trying to win that job. What do you think, Alex?
I would definitely agree. Oswaldo Cabrera is one of those players that he goes through those kind of hot stretches and then those massive, like, swaths of cold, at bats. But we need more consistency. And ultimately, John Birdie had his highest batting average last season at .294. And then he also had, I think, a .344 on-base percentage. So he was pretty good last year. Like, he was a solid player. The Yankees, look, we know what the Yankees, they're going to get hurt. You know, the guys are going to get banged up. Guys are going to miss some time. Birdie's going to get plenty of playing time. That's not a question. It's more of so, when is he going to get it? And, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera can switch over to outfield. And Birdie has, I think, 570 innings worth of experience in the outfield as well. Whereas Cabrera has some experience and obviously at most infield spots. That's a really good situation to have, because I mean, right now, I think Peraza's probably out of this equation. Even when he returns, I just don't see how he works his way back into this. But with that being said, I'm really excited to see Cabrera get some more opportunities, because yesterday in Houston, you know, against, I guess they had one of their worst bullpen arms in at the time. But that was a tough pitch to hit. That wasn't like right across the plate. That was an inside and low pitch he scooped out of the dirt to get over the fence. It was impressive. Impressive lefty hitting from Oswaldo Cabrera. And he's obviously, like, he looks to be a much better lefty than a righty. You kind of referenced that. So I do love to see that today against a right-hander and Christian Javier. I do think that Cabrera gets to start again because of his lefty profile there. But I think that, you know, if you're the Yankees, no reason to rush Birdie into this equation. Let him get some chemistry behind the scenes with his new teammates. Let him get acclimated. Cabrera's been here for a couple of years now. Like, he's, you know, he seamlessly kind of fit in yesterday. I don't see why you need to rush him into this spot. But I would like to see against the next matchup that suggests maybe against the next left-handed pitcher, Birdie get the start at third base. Maybe that's kind of how I would operate with Birdie right now. Maybe you wait until you get back home to the Bronx, give him a chance to get involved. Or if, you know, Cabrera has a tough game, maybe you swap him out for the next game. Let that be an open competition for starting reps. You know, ultimately, I think competition is good for every player. I think last year, Volpe beat out Peraza. You see guys that are making a name. Wells had a good spring. Like, you love to see these guys competing, winning reps, and let the best man win. You know, just like any team, I hate giving away starting jobs. I hate giving away open reps. The truth is, once DJ LeMahieu comes back, both those guys are going to be riding the bench until another opportunity arises. So you might as well go with the guy that's hitting well at that current moment anyway. But I do like both of them. Really excited to have some more depth. Like, a couple days ago, we had no depth in the infield. Now we have a substantial amount of depth in the infield once DJ LeMahieu returns from the bruise to his right foot. But, you know, let's transition over to a second to talk about, you know, we'll talk about Juan Soto briefly. Then I want to talk about Anthony Volpe, because Volpe, to me, looks like he could be an all-star this year. Very early return. Obviously, there's a lot of baseball left to be played, but he looks like a different player. I want to kind of break that down after we talk about Soto for a second. But how nice is it to have another superstar next to Aaron Judge? Last year, it was Judge, Glaber, nothing. You know, it was just nothing else to get things going. Rizzo wasn't there with the injury. But now you have you have Soto batting, and then you have Judge right after him. You love to see that, man. Like, you really love to see that dynamic duo, because the bases were juiced a couple of different times because of those two guys getting on base. That double from Judge later on in the contest, Soto had two walks and an RBI single. They were just on base all freaking game. You know what I mean? Like, you love to see that, and that's what's going to be a catalyst for this Yankee offense, because behind them, look, Stanton didn't look that great, but I think he also, you know, just, he was swinging out some pitches out of the zone. He was not looking like that confident, that comfortable. Maybe I'm crazy for this. I don't really think I am. I would rather have Rizzo bat and cleanup, because I think that Rizzo is going to be an RBI machine behind Stanton and Judge, or rather Judge and Soto. What do you think about that? I don't think that they should move Stanton out of cleanup right now, but I think long-term, if Stanton continues to struggle, or if he does struggle, I wouldn't be opposed to Rizzo batting cleanup in this lineup. Yes, he's not going to hit as many home runs as Stanton, but I guarantee you he's going to be driving runners in. And Stanton's just, sometimes the double plays are brutal, man. I think he had one yesterday with the bases juiced. What are your thoughts on Soto's instant impact? And obviously that cleanup spot, do you think that Rizzo might be a little bit better suited there long-term if Stanton goes through a little bit of a cold streak?
Yeah, so the first thing in regards to the cleanup spot, I think the only reason Stanton was hitting cleanup was because it was a lefty, and I'm perfectly fine with going matchup to matchup saying, all right, we're going to move our lineup around depending on what we're facing. We looked at the numbers yesterday talking about, Stanton for, an RBI. Honestly, he had a good amount of chances to get it done, and he got a couple of, he had a couple of good ABs here and there. I know it wasn't a great line for him, but, the double plays from other hitters obviously didn't help him. And then kind of looking at, Rizzo had a good start. I think Rizzo had a good game. He had some good ABs. And if you're able to get him in the cleanup spot against righties, that's ideal, right? Like, that's probably the situation where you can't have Stanton hitting fourth at all. You can't really justify it. And then for that leadoff spot, it's interesting because I would tell you that Gleyber Torres is on paper their best guy to be the leadoff hitter. But at the same time, for some reason, he just can't seem to perform there. Like, his career trends, it's always been not good at the leadoff spot. I have no idea what it is. Maybe it's a mental thing. Maybe it's he just can't get prepared the same way. Obviously, I'm not going to start asking the Yankees, all right, you got to shuffle up the lineup because of one game, right? But it is interesting to note that Volpe looked so good with his plate discipline. I look at that at-bat against Presley, man. That was such an impressive at-bat. Like, I don't mean to, kind of sound like I'm overreacting here. Again, I'm a preacher of the idea that, none of this stuff matters, but, I'll wait till May or June to start, really starting to have takes on these players and kind of, formulating more opinions. But we know that Volpe's coming off of a spring training where he showed off a pretty impressive eye. We know that Volpe is a player who, for the majority of his career, has been a high OBP, high average guy, and it just changed the major league level. But if you look at this at bat, and I pulled up the game log here to actually get the exact thing against Presley, this was the inning where Verdugo hits that sac fly. If Volpe doesn't work a walk here and extend this inning, I don't know how the inning goes, right? Like, I can't tell you that. I can't tell you that Verdugo was gonna, if he hit if he hits a sac fly there, right, no one scores because it's two outs. So that just becomes an inning-ending flyout, and the Yankees go into the ninth inning tied or go into extra innings, whatever it may be. He's down two strikes very early into the count. It's a called strike and a foul ball. You're down 0-2 against the righty with Ryan Presley has a great breaking ball, over 3,000 RPMs of spin, and then tough take on a fastball, tough take on a slider, foul off a curveball, and then take another curveball, ball four, Yankees get a runner on, Verdugo drives a runner in, the Yankees go on to win the game. That at-bat defined everything. That one at-bat, down 0-2, low success rate and 0-2, especially against righty. This is where Volpe has failed consistently, right? And this is where Volpe has been eaten alive consistently. It's always against righties with great breaking balls, and he spat on all of those pitches. That was impressive. That was incredibly impressive. You even think with the bases loaded, the RBI walk, right? Seth Martinez, he understands, he reads the situation. Martinez is coming in. The bases are loaded. Make him beat you. Make Seth Martinez give you a reason to swing. And he did not give him a reason to swing. He went, the game plan for Volpe was, let's try to get him on a slider away. He missed with the sweeper. So now Volpe can sit 1-0. Then he sits on the fastball, ball. Spits on the next one, spits on the next one. That's ball four. That's a walk. That's another run. So you can account two runs in this game to Anthony Volpe being disciplined. If he can do that all year, obviously I'm not saying walk three times all year a game, but if he can be disciplined and if he can show maturity at the plate that he showed yesterday, yeah, he's a leadoff hitter, right? Like, that's not even disputed. The speed, the athleticism, and just kind of think about the future of this lineup. He certainly impressed me a lot yesterday. I think that was about as good as it gets, Alex. And that's the one position where I'm looking at as maybe things will change soon.
Yeah, I mean, look, Anthony Volpe to me looked like a 10-year veteran yesterday. I was so impressed with his at-bats. Looking at those, the pitches that he took, looking at, he had a hit. It was really just, it looked like he had put a stupendous amount of work in this offseason to not only refine his swing, but also his discipline, He had one strikeout, but altogether, the quality of at-bats that Volpe had yesterday was significantly different than what we've seen in the past. Significantly. I am so excited to watch him again tonight because I think that this is a guy who prides himself on consistency. And last year, he wasn't consistent. And I think it ate away at him. And I said it all off season. If we notice these things, I am willing to guarantee he also noticed these things that we were talking about. He refined his swing. He probably saw thousands, if not tens of thousands of pitches this offseason trying to get better at identifying breaking pitches. He was okay against fastballs, but breaking pitches just had his number. And ultimately, the sliders outside of the zone, it really he was biting on a lot of them last year, and he lacked the balance in his swing and his lower body to actually reach some of them. Now he's seeing them coming out, and he's able to keep his head in the same spot. He was pulling his head around last year a ton, and it was leaving him off balance, and he wasn't able to reach parts of the plate. They knew if they expanded the strike zone on him, he wasn't going to get those outside pitches. Now, you know, he's a lot more balanced. He's leaning over. You know, he's actually has that kind of structure and that, you know, cemented foundation that he can reach those pitches on the outside of the zone and slap those things the other way. I think we're going to see a little bit more of an opposite field hits from Volpe this year because of it. I know he's going to pull the ball a lot, but I wouldn't be surprised if we saw a little bit more action to right field because of his balance changing. So, you know, I can't wait to see what this does for his production. I think his on-base percentage is going to skyrocket. I would not be surprised. Maybe this is another hot take, but I really don't think it is. The course of the next month, I think Anthony Volpe is going to be batting leadoff for this team. I think if he keeps playing the way he is, I think he's going to be batting leadoff over the next in the next month, because if his on-base percentage stays high, his confidence and is growing and his consistency is showcasing itself, I don't see why the Yankees will not have this guy batting leadoff. He got on base 3 out of his 5 at-bats yesterday, maybe 3 of his 4 at-bats. It was 4 or 5. He was on base for 3 of them. If you have him on base, and Gleyber Torres struggled yesterday, he's a fine player. He's going to be fine. I'm not worried about Gleyber Torres. But if you have Volpe getting on base that clip, ahead of Judge and Soto, we're going to be scoring a lot of damn runs in the first inning. You know what I mean? A lot of damn runs at the top of this order. So I'm super ecstatic about that. I think that we're going to see a lot of production. I was hoping for an Anthony Volpe stolen base yesterday, but every time he got on base, there was somebody ahead of him, so he couldn't steal any bags. Kind of a good thing for the Yankees, not a good thing for our bet, but it is what it is. I'll take the win no matter what. But, you know, what do you think about that hot take? Maybe not so hot, maybe a lukewarm take that by the end of this month, by the end of the next month, we could see Volpe batting leadoff if he continues, you know, boosting that on-base percentage and showcasing that this newfound play discipline.
Why don't we turn up the temperature a little bit on this one? Anthony Volpe does what he did yesterday. If he's able to show that level of play discipline, that level of maturity, he will be only behind Juan Soto and OBP on this team. If he can do that, if he can play that way, I'm not saying he will. I'm saying he can, not he will. So that's the expectation. My expectation is still, hey, can you give me like a 100 WRC plus? I'll take it, right? You know, like that's where my head's at. Because if you look at the depth of the Yankee lineup yesterday, that really was the standout, right? Like, I know Verdugo didn't have a great game, but he's my seventh hitter. It's not bad, right? I didn't feel like Trevino is probably the exception. He's probably the only guy where I was like, yeah, this is not a competitive at-bat. Like, I'm not going to get a competitive AB here. But you understand that that's the case. He's your backup catcher. Like, you're not stunned that your backup catcher is not a great hitter. And you know your starting catcher, and that when the postseason comes around, hopefully, that your starting catcher could be Austin Wells. And Austin Wells is going to give you some competitive ABs, to say the very least. So this lineup could run 1-9. They were able to remain impressive without LeMahieu. I mean, if LeMahieu can come back and be even similar to what he was last year, like, the lineup depth is good. That's the number one thing that stood out to me, Alex. I just feel like the lineup's a lot deeper than it's been in years past. And, you know, kind of looking a little bit ahead here, you obviously know Dominguez should be back at some point in May or June. If he's able to come back at some point in May or June, that creates a question about who the Yankees are going to have in the outfield. Maybe some guys are hurt or banged up, and that opens an opportunity for Dominguez. Hell, I mean, ideally, he opens the season in AAA. Like, I know that people don't want to hear that, but yes, ideally, you know, we talk about Jason Dominguez going to AAA because the outfield looks good, right? Now, if Dominguez is needed, or if Dominguez is playing so well, you just kind of can't, right? Like, you can't deny it anymore. You have to let him play. Then you have another OBP threat on your team. The discipline on this team, the ability to grind out that bats, if they can do what they did to the Astros yesterday consistently throughout the year in terms of just grinding out ABs and putting pressure on opposing pitchers, they're going to have a great year. I think that they didn't even do the best job of crushing the baseball. And that's something that the Yankees, even last year, they know how to do damage to the ball. That's something they're always going to know how to do. That's something that the Yankees are consistently going to be very good at. I think that they just have to find their mojo in that regard. But when they do, they will certainly start the... I think they'll certainly get it going in terms of... for the best way to put it, they'll get it going in terms of doing damage to the baseball. And once that gets going, once they have runners on and can do damage, you know, that'll click into sync at some point. And they'll score a ton of runs, right? Like, they're going to score a lot of runs if this is the way they can play all year. I would love to see how it holds up over the course of a larger sample size. I would love to see how things kind of transform as certain guys get hot, as certain guys get cold, as some guys slump, as some guys get off the hot starts. You know what's going to happen. We're going to be talking about in a month a guy who's off to a cold start. We'll be talking about it in a month a guy who's off to a hot start. You know, we don't know who that is yet. One game doesn't tell us anything, right? Like, Josh Donaldson hit a home run in the second game of the season. He sucked last year, right? Like, to put it, you know, being nice here. Or even like a guy like an opening day in 2022, right? You know, Stan hits a home run in on opening day and he slumps down the second half and he hasn't been the same player since. So, you know, you're kind of looking at opening day as, all right, great. If you got off to a good start, everyone wants to get off to a good start. But let's see it over a larger sample size to kind of see how things evolve. And as things evolve, yeah, like I would love to see kind of how this team and lineup transforms outside of it, because this is a talented team. This is a talented group. We know the offense is capable of putting the team on its back and getting runs in. And I mean, Judge, you mentioned it, like Judge even have his best game and they were still having great at bats, right? I mean, Judge with that double, obviously, and that was a rocket. But it, you know, it no longer feels like Aaron Judge has to carry the team. And that's such a nice feeling, because dude, if it's 2023 and Aaron Judge has that game, man, pack it up when you're down four, right? Like last year, I remember, yo, it's down four runs, pack it up. This game's over. Yankees, it's done. I'd start writing the postgame report. Yankees drop this one X to X. Like I just keep the two, don't put the numbers yet, put the numbers after. I just start writing about Yankee offense falls flat, they don't get a good start, blah, 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 blah. Because it was money, because that happened every single game, Alex. Is there a game where you thought last year the Yankees were capable of coming back 4-0? Absolutely not. Hey, you pass the first test. You're down 4-0. You get punched in the mouth. It was quick, too. Two innings, and bam, bam. Nestor Cortez already got four on the ledger. And the Yankees are able to punch right back and get a win. So, you know, if this line can continue to produce the way that they've been producing yesterday, if they can continue to be good, even when Aaron Judge isn't great, that's going to help. And then when Aaron Judge is great, I mean, it's over, right? Like, it's over for some pitching staffs. We've seen Aaron Judge put up an 8 spot. Like, he put up an 8 spot in his own against the Diamondbacks last year, late in September. The NL pennant winning Arizona Diamondbacks in September last year. So, we know Aaron Judge is more than capable of taking over a ball game. I love the lineup depth, Alex. I think that's just the number one thing. I love the lineup depth. I love it already.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a different team. Volpe's different. Soto, the addition of him. Verdugo had a nice little single early on and, you know, had an impact down the stretch. Had a really nice defensive play. He's a humongous upgrade defensively in left field, in my opinion. I think you would agree with that. So, you know, right now, this Yankee team looks to be a lot different, more resilient, more productive. Some of those runs get in on those bases juiced situations. We're talking about a much different scoreline. We're talking about a blowout win in Houston against the Astros. I think we're going to see some damn good offense today. We're excited about it. Carlos Rodon on the mound. Would love to see him kind of have a similar, I say maybe a little bit better of a performance than Cortez, but similarly resilient. I think that he's going to give up some hits, you know, first game of the year, but I do think he's got the stuff to be just fine and have a really good performance today. So we're hoping that he can have a good one. And then Christian Javier, that was decent during spring training. I think the Yankees can beat him up a little bit. He was giving up a lot of walks during spring training. And he's no infrequent flyer to giving up home runs, too. So I think the Yankees may get a second home run in this game after Oswaldo's yesterday. I wouldn't be surprised if maybe a guy like Judge or Soto took him deep. So we'll see what happens, but always love to have a good conversation about this Yankee team. Great win yesterday. Make sure to drop your comments down below in the YouTube comment section. Make sure to like and subscribe, and we'll catch you guys on the next Fireside Yankees episode. Perfect.